Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Positive returns are expected here through August. So steers leaving Kansas yards will be a positive return. And they vary quite widely. Depends on what you pay for the steers coming in and how much of a regression we've had on fed cattle price by month.
Kansas State livestock economist, Dr. Glenn Tonzer.
And then when we get out to Labor Day, those projections turn into red ink. And the main reason for that is, you know, maybe a $20 slippage in fed cattle price here within 2026 forecast and notable increases in the placement prices. Those two add up to squeezing the projected margins.
Now, the tight cattle supplies continue to support beef prices as summer demand builds. It's leaving producers with stronger cattle values, but again, packers facing margin pressure. Sparks Group reports consumer protein demand remained resilient through late May despite the high retail beef prices. Firm estimates that beef packer margins approach losses of $347 per head as fed cattle costs continue to outpace box beef values. High feeder cattle and calf prices also show that rebuilding the U.S. herd remains costly and slow. So for cattle producers, market signal remains supply-driven. Limited cattle numbers support prices, but uncertainty over replacement costs, forage conditions, and New World screwworm-related trade disruptions complicates expansion decisions. Now, on the other hand, pork and poultry are adding balance to the protein market. Pork demand continues to be supported by exports. Poultry remains a lower-priced option for consumers facing pressure at the meat counter. Well, ground beef demand helping drive a widening U.S. beef trade imbalance as tight domestic cattle supplies limit the lean product needed for hamburger. USDA's quarterly outlook for U.S. ag trade projects fiscal year 2026 beef and veal imports at $16.3 billion. That's up from $13.5 billion last year. Now, beef exports forecast at $8.1 billion. It's below the $8.7 billion last year. High U.S. beef prices limited production, making U.S. products less competitive in export channels. Now, most imported beef is not a direct substitute for the higher-value grain-finished steaks or roast. It's lean beef and trimmings blended with fattier domestic trimmings to produce ground beef. U.S. fed cattle efficiently produce quality beef, but the domestic herd can't generate enough lean trim to satisfy the hamburger demand. That need grows when cow slaughter is low, cattle supplies are historically tight, and the result, rising imports while strong cattle prices continue. A proposed Nebraska fertilizer plant would bring finished liquid nitrogen production closer to Western Corn Belt growers who depend on supply ship from distant plants and ports. Joshua Westling, founder and CEO of J. Westling and Company, presented Project Meadowlark to the Senate Ag Committee last month. Westling says the more than $1 billion complex would produce 365,000 tons of urea ammonium nitrate, or UAN, and 140,000 tons of ammonium annually. Operations are targeted for 2029. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Well, I think the secretaries and the administration in their announcement on the 29th of April, led by Secretary Rollins, is definitely a step in the right direction.
Joshua Westling is founder, CEO of J. Westling and Company, building a new fertilizer plant.
It's refreshing to me that they see the problem, that they're thinking through ways to solve the problem, and I think they're on the right track. Of course, they need to start deploying some of the resources that they've suggested in order to make what they want to come to fruition. But it's a step in the right direction for sure. And then there's some legislation, bipartisan legislation, at both the Senate and the House that are definitely steps in the right direction as well in getting the government involved in solving the problem. And I'm sure, to the extent that any of your listeners or viewers are inclined, calling their representatives and pointing out to them that they're heading in the right direction and to get this stuff passed would be very helpful.
On the whole idea of the fertilizer issue, what would he do to address the issue?
These facilities aren't like Walgreens, right? We can't put one on every corner. There's no need to put one on every corner, but there are some strategic locations that are primarily challenged by transportation, distribution, logistics. It's rail, it's barge, it's truck. However it's getting to people, there are places where it's just inherently difficult for that to happen, yet they grow a lot of crops in those places, and so they need it. It's not a discretionary item. It's a staple, and so we have to find a way to get it to people. And rather than try to build more highways or build more rail, all of those are complex as well. I think we should build the stuff where they use the stuff, which is to say, put fertilizer plants where they're growing a lot of row crops. And the magic wand, if I'm waving a magic wand, as I mentioned earlier, the upfront cost is a real thing. Nevertheless, it's hard to get folks to fund into that in the private sector because the check is so big, the lift is so heavy that it's the private sector just has a hard time with it. And so getting the government to come in the form of a grant or some form of bridge capital to get it started and heading down the road to the point where then you can layer in the private capital, I think that's where there's an opportunity here. And that's, I'm hopeful that the administration and the bipartisan work being done in the Senate and the House bring to reality.
So producers fed up with the high fertilizer prices, what can they do?
Yeah, I think you should voice support for the framework that was outlined by Secretary Rollins on the 29th of April. Again, I think it's a step in the right direction. With absolute certainty. There's the Bipartisan Homegrown Fertilizer Act, I think you could reference as well. I think there is a lot within that that is also important and helpful in getting these things built. And then there's some additional transparency legislation that's also moving forward to give farmers visibility into what's creating these pricing dynamics. And knowledge is power, right? So having that and having it available to producers so they can at least understand what's happening and why, also important. So any one of those I think you could reference and should reference when you're reaching out to your representatives. And they've been hearing from folks that, they know the input prices are historically high. They know it's a problem. They know it's causing issues at the farm level. And so calling and saying, I absolutely have these issues. Hopefully you guys can figure out a way to solve them. And here are some examples, some concrete real world examples of what's happening in the halls of Congress that you guys, Congress people, representatives can latch on to win the day.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Agriculture Today.
And as we focus today on America's economic future, they compel us to confront and correct decisions that have diminished our sovereignty in recent decades.
Speaking last week at the Reagan National Economic Forum, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
President Reagan himself understood that renewal begins with reflection. One thing that has made our republic great, he said, is that we don't hide from our mistakes. We learn from them. Then we go on and do things better than we did before. Better than we did before. That is the spirit in which I want to speak with you today. With candor and with confidence in our capacity to deliver another 250 years of American economic leadership. The truth is that for too long, America had been asleep. We mistook comfort for strength. We substituted efficiency for resilience and consumption as a measure of prosperity. We told ourselves that so long as goods were cheaper overseas, it did not matter whether factories went dark in Michigan, Ohio, or Pennsylvania. We assumed that supply chains would always function smoothly and adversaries would always behave responsibly, and the invisible hand would correct vulnerabilities that too few in public life had the courage to confront. And while we reassured ourselves with those assumptions, risk accumulated all around us. Somewhere along the way, we lost sight of a foundational principle that previous generations understood instinctively. Economic security is national security. For a nation that cannot manufacture, mine, ship, or refine its needs gradually, cedes its strength and sovereignty to others. That is a dangerous dependency for any country. It is an unacceptable one for the United States of America. Now, nations rarely cede their security in a single moment. More often, they drift into dependence through a series of politically expedient decisions. For our part, we made a series of mistakes, some bipartisan, others ideological, and many defended long after their cost became impossible to ignore. One was treating trade policy as though it existed apart from national strategy. We convinced ourselves that we could pursue commercial partnerships in one silo while managing security relationships in another, as if the world would honor these distinctions. But a nation that relies on a rival for critical inputs finances the rise of countries that do not share our interests and allows this productive base to erode while promising to defend the international order, will find, sooner or later, that these two silos collapse into each other. As damaging as our willingness to extend strategic trust where it had been not earned, China's accession to the WTO and the granting of permanent normal trade relations were sold to the American people as steps that would level markets and moderate behavior. Instead, we left our workers to compete against state-led subsidies, excess capacity, and practices that distort trade and undermine reciprocity. We assumed the rules-based system would discipline these behaviors, only to find that in too many sectors, it accommodated them, and that in the name of efficiency, we began to celebrate just in time while neglecting just in case.
It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer declined from 121 in April to 119 in May, driven primarily by worsening views of current conditions on the farm.
Director for Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, Dr. Michael Langemeyer.
High input costs were once again the dominant concern in this month's survey. In fact, more than half of producers identified input costs as their biggest concern overall, while nearly half said those costs are the primary factor limiting improvement in their farm's financial performance. The decline in May was largely tied to weaker perceptions of current conditions. The current conditions index fell 8 points and now sits at its lowest level since the December of 2024. Meanwhile, producers' expectations for the future improved only slightly, 1 point, and remain well below levels seen a year ago. Only 14% of producers said their operation is financially better off today than it was a year ago. And looking ahead to the next 12 months, just 22% of respondents expect their operation to improve financially. Caution is also showing up in investment behavior. The Farm Capital Investment Index declined to 41 in May, its lowest level since September of 2024. This index measures producers' willingness to make large investments such as machinery, equipment, or buildings. A continued decline in this index signals increasing hesitation towards major capital purchases, likely reflecting tighter margins, elevated borrowing costs, and ongoing uncertainty surrounding profitability. Questions related to the Iran conflict were included again in this month's survey, particularly regarding its impact on input costs and profitability. Approximately two-thirds of producers expect the conflict to negatively impact their farm's income in 2026. And remember, we have both crop and livestock producers in the survey. Among producers who planted corn in 2025, expectations for higher break-even prices remained widespread. About half of respondents expect corn break-even prices to increase up to 6%. 17% expect increases between 6 and 9%, while nearly one-third expect break-even prices to rise by 10% or more. The survey also revisited labor availability and the potential role of artificial intelligence tools on the farm. Among producers who hire non-family labor, approximately 44% reported at least some difficulty hiring workers this year. Many respondents are skeptical regarding the immediate value of AI tools in addressing labor and equipment challenges. Nearly 60% said AI would not improve their current situation, while roughly 40% believe it could help at least somewhat, with only 4% saying it could help a lot. Despite weakening sentiment and tighter margins, farmland value expectations actually improved in May. Both the short-term and long-term farmland value indices moved higher this month. Producers identified interest rates, alternative investments, and net farm income as the most important factors influencing land values. Optimism regarding the broader direction of the U.S. economy continued to worsen or weaken. 52% of respondents said the country is headed in the right direction, down from 57% in April, and the lowest percentage recorded since this question was introduced last year. As we look ahead, the May survey highlights several important themes shaping the farm economy: continued pressure from high input costs, growing concern about margin compression, reduced willingness to make large capital investments, ongoing uncertainty tied to global geopolitical events, and increasing caution regarding profitability. While producers remain relatively optimistic about farmland values and long-term agriculture fundamentals, concerns about costs and financial performance are continuing to weigh heavily on sentiment and management decisions.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
So there are approved vaccines globally in the U.S. that has not taken place yet.
Ben Clevey, Senior Equity Research Analyst at Benchmark.
The global vaccines have had kind of a range of success. So Mexico has a vaccine. Its efficacy is quite low. The French have one that's reasonably effective. But in the U.S., there's considerable pushback from the animal protein industry, because even if a vaccine is safe and effective, which they are, it would introduce a real disruption to the export market for other proteins. And so trade groups are really resistant to a vaccine. And now with low egg prices, the kind of pressure on the egg industry to get a vaccine through, is lower. So, you've got a price environment now where even a safe and effective vaccine is unlikely to be really forced. You've got a protein sector that's resistant to it. And then in the U.S. specifically, even if one is approved and, if one is effective, the approval and mandate by an FDA led by Robert F. Kennedy is frankly unlikely, to say the least.
Says there are two buckets when it comes to producers.
So when you think about the ag industry, there's a lot of different classifications, but if you bucket it into two different systems, commodity versus specialty.
Yeah.
So commodity is going to be the eggs that are produced in barns where the hens are contained in small cages. Everything else is considered specialty. So cage-free, free-range pasture-raised, et cetera, are all considered specialty eggs. So of those two buckets, the conventional systems have had a more pronounced impact from avian influenza. The healthier the bird, the more outdoor access that a bird has, it seems to be that the virus is less impactful. Not that there haven't been outbreaks in pasture systems, but they're much more few and far between. And smaller scale in nature too. The specialty egg industry has certainly been navigating this environment much better. The U.S. consumer and consumers globally, are seeking these as well, because these are systems that are more in line with animal welfare standards that the consumer is driving for. The quality differences between a specialty, and a commodity egg are stark as well. Thicker whites, thicker shells, thicker yolks. And so you've got just a convergence of trends that are supporting the specialty industry.
What's the road look like for producers?
So if you're a conventional egg farmer, with sub a dollar eggs, it costs 50 cents, a carton just to feed the hen. So if you're only getting, 40, 50, 60 cents a carton, you are negative, you're underwater. The conventional provider has, kind of an all above the response. You are enhancing your biosecurity protocols to make sure that there aren't panda outbreak that hits you. You're shoring up barns, et cetera. It's also a very fragmented industry. So if you're a conventional producer, this is an environment where rolling up, other producers is certainly an environment to do so. Throughout the entire complex, from conventional to pasture raised, everything in between, you're also seeing a lot of promotional activity to really try to drive supply out the door. And I think you're also going to have a delayed repopulation of flocks when they reach the end of their layer life. So at some natural point in the life cycle, the flock becomes less economically viable. And so instead of replacing that flock really quickly, you're going to see delays instead of a matter of weeks, a matter of months, or even quarters, to allow for the market to begin to rebalance. So, there's not a silver bullet here. Egg producers are really in a tough environment right now. But if you've got a thoughtful approach to navigating this, and a balance sheet to support yourself, in this time, you're going to come out just fine.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
This is Agriculture Today.
The pandemic did not create our brittle supply chains so much as expose them.
Speaking last week at the Reagan National Economic Forum, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
Suddenly, the world's most advanced economy found itself partially dependent on foreign suppliers for semiconductors, large capacity batteries, critical minerals, and medicines that we no longer produce here at home. Regrettably, our recovery from the pandemic did not bring reform under the prior administration. Today, the United States still imports most of its rare earth minerals that are essential to the technologies that will shape military and economic power in the 21st century. Only a small share of the active pharmaceutical ingredients that we use in the United States are made here. An American shipbuilding capacity, which once helped to secure victory in war and prosperity and peace, has shrunk to a fraction of global production. So when I say America has been asleep, I do not mean that no one warned us. In fact, many did. Workers warned us when their plants shuttered and communities decayed. Military planners warned us when supply chains narrowed. Manufacturers warned us about subsidized competitors and dump products. Public health officials warned us about pharmaceutical dependencies. The warning lights were glaring all around us. But our political class preferred the comfort of old formulas. Cheaper was always better. Offshoring was inevitable. Industrial policy was unfashionable. And strategic dependence was acceptable so long as the cost remained invisible. Beneath every one of those mistakes lay a more basic failure in our philosophy. In reducing economics to consumption, we forgot production. We measured abundance at the checkout counter rather than at the factory gate. We talked about GDP, but not enough about its composition. And we prized low-cost inputs without first asking whether a nation can remain sovereign when it loses command over the things that matter most. A country cannot outsource its industrial commons, ignore strategic concentration, and expect to remain secure. For manufacturing is more than output on a balance sheet. It is a reservoir of practical capability. Engineers and welders, tool and die makers, and logistic networks, plant managers and workers who know how to solve problems on the factory floor. When the ecosystem is strong, a country can adapt quickly. When it is hollowed out, adaptation becomes slower, more costly, and less certain. We saw this during COVID and the scramble for ventilators, masks, and other medical equipment. We saw it again as the war in Ukraine reminded the world that high-intensity conflict consumes weapons and munitions at a pace far beyond peacetime assumptions. Surge capacity cannot be conjured overnight. It must be built before a crisis arrives. And a country that allows its industrial base to shrink in the quiet years should not be surprised when it struggles to replenish stocks in the dangerous ones. In a crisis, the nation with a broad and skilled industrial base has options. The nation that has hollowed out that base only has excuses. America should never again put itself in a position where its security depends on supply chains it does not control, factories it no longer maintains, or skilled trades it failed to preserve. That is why the president's agenda matters.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.